Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Three, four. Get up.
Get on up.
Get up.
Get on up.
Stay on the scene.
Get on up.
Like a sex machine.
Get on
Good
up.
Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning.
Sam and Greg.
Morning.
How you doing?
All right, man. How you doing?
I'm all right.
Yeah.
I fulfilled my
oh, yeah, you
my
did.
Duties.
Yes, you did.
I took care of business.
Oh yeah. But I don't know I don't know if they like what they saw though.
No, but it's a push so far. 1-1. One win, one loss.
Well, there's one you hear about and watch at home. The other one you watched in person.
What Mr. Crenshaw is talking about is I finally made it out to see that Tigers game with the wife yesterday. From Michigan.
Who is a huge
well,
Tigers fan.
Well, she's just from outside Detroit.
Yeah.
There was a wonder whether or not, you know, people were going to be able to pull rabbits out of their hat and get tickets.
Yeah.
See, they don't give away tickets the way they used to, do they?
Well, you got fewer seats.
No, but just in general.
You got, in general, sporting. You have fewer seats.
Teams don't give away tickets the way they used to. We remember we could just make a call
man.
And
yeah,
get some
yeah,
tickets
oh, yeah,
and
yeah, yeah,
parking anything. Pass and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, nah. No.
Those
no.
days are over.
No, no.
And wasn't sure. But, yeah, we went out there and had ourselves a big old time there. And I was so happy sat on the first base side.
Oh, because the sun. Yeah, the
sun
four,
was on the third base
4
side.
4 o'clock start, huh?
And folks looked like it was like church on Easter. Well, actually, more like 4th of July.
Yeah.
They're just fanning
yeah.
themselves. And,
the air conditioning ain't working too well.
No.
Yeah.
But here's my question.
Yeah. Not if you've seen it. What do you think of the whole setup?
It's all right. It's all right. You know, we've been to all three Braves locations here in this city.
Yeah,
I mean, we're one of the few that can say that.
Yes.
Around here.
Yep.
I liked the Ted. Loved me some Turner Field. You're asking.
And I think that's the place that you like also because of what happened there. They were consistent winners and on top, and the place had a feel to it. This place has a different feel.
A different feel to it.
But, you know, it's the things that's going on around it. And I think that's the whole thing. When we talk about facilities for the future and how it's okay for us, but it really ain't for us.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
So that's why I was cool. There was stuff going around Turner Field.
Yeah, but not like that. Not like what you saw yesterday.
Obviously not the same. But still, you asked me. And there's nothing. I got no beef with that. And they couldn't have picked a better location for the upcoming All-Star game.
Yep. Oh, I know.
That's all part of that's the price of doing business in Major League Baseball. You get yourself a new stadium, you're going to get yourself an All-Star game.
It's not just a new stadium, though. That's become a concept that the baseball commissioner has applauded and has told other cities they really should look at the concept that's at SunTrust. And, you know, we mentioned that in the bullpen. They got a scaled-down version of it down in Augusta. If you take a ride east on I-20, and right as you cross the state line there on North Augusta, South Carolina, they're minor league. It's a minor league stadium, single-A, but it's a nice, modern new stadium they built down there. Got places to live around it, got some apartments, got some shops and stuff. And
hey, listen, wait till you take a ride down and see the new training center in Sarasota.
Yep.
Wait till you see this place. You're going to like, it's like 1-1A from what I saw already.
Yeah.
And what it will probably end up being or morphing into. It not
well, the
that
part
far
they let
behind.
You see, because that woman didn't let you get in.
No,
too
no,
close
no,
to
but
that.
I, listen.
She
I,
ran
I,
you away from that place.
And
you
plus,
were
it
there.
Wasn't completely finished, but yeah. I got, you know, I have seen it since.
I'm
got my
saying.
Ways of getting around.
I'm
don't worry saying. About it. I'm a pretty resourceful person.
She ran you away from that day. I was like, wow,
yeah, she
man.
Did. yelled at me in front of my father.
Oh, gosh.
Get out of here. Hey, nobody's coming past this way here. Yeah, real. It's like they were like bouncers. They got a little bit of space that's their own, and they're going to act like, you
oh,
know,
yeah, now.
Most
oh.
important person in the world.
Absolutely, absolutely.
10-5
final score, Braves win.
They get it done last night. But this
got
is what I was going to ask
go,
you.
Go ahead.
Is it unfair for me to, as I look at Austin Riley and what he's done so far.
The matinee idol.
I'm ready to argue with you about that because I still think the women are looking more at Dansby than they are him. They're admiring his play, meaning Austin, and he's awed people. Dansby's got the whole package.
I just mean somebody that the women look at. The matinee idols, not just someone.
Usually matinee idols are usually what swoon over to matinee idols. Swoon over matinee idols.
I think this guy's if you coming in, he's your guy. You look at that you put on the billboard that you want outside.
That's fine.
And it's who draws people through the gate. I think people want to get through the gate to see this guy.
I agree with you. Yeah. That ain't no matinee idol. Dansby still got that. But here's what I was going for.
We just want Dansby to keep hitting away.
yesterday.
We've had a little while getting him to this point. You ain't worried about putting no titles on him. Just let him play right now.
Anyway.
that's all I'm saying.
Anyway, why would you want to put one on Austin? He's not been here as long. You don't want to derail him.
But you know what? That's the thing about him. But now we got, like I said, they played St. Louis. When he came up with St. Louis, they faced him again last weekend. It was the second time those pitchers had a chance to see him, and he's still here.
And you keep going back, that's just one team. There's a whole lot of other teams that are going to make adjustments. Right. Let's wait and see.
Well, apparently St. Louis could make an adjustment.
Let's wait. That's right. You know? Should have got rid of Matheny. And what's-his-face wasn't catching either, was he? Yeah, he was. Molina. He just went on the IR.
Yep. But I'm just saying, even facing a pitching staff for the second time, he's been wise enough to do, smart enough to do that. Yeah, it'll catch up with him, at some point eventually. But just the idea that, he's been able to maintain this, for a time.
I'm trying to get this thought out that I've been having.
Go ahead.
And it's pretty unfair, and I need you to back me up on this. But I could be wrong.
Okay.
When I look at Austin Riley right now, and while he's doing what he's doing, I'm missing that it thing, that it factor. And I was going back to when Klesko came to town and Klesko started doing his thing.
Yeah.
And Klesko had that it that Austin Riley doesn't have. Klesko tried to swing out of his shoes every time he was up there.
Yeah.
And that made it a little bit more exciting to watch. And
I don't think this guy has to do that. He doesn't have to do that.
I'm saying it might be unfair that I'm comparing the two. Nah. This is big 6'3" dude. He's jerking him out. He seems to be hitting for average. But he's exciting people with these, this 8 home runs he's got so far. And he's just a big boy at the plate. Was the one that came to mind was Ryan Klesko.
I think the part we don't talk about is what else is happening in the lineup that's probably helping him to do this. Freddie Freeman is doing what he's doing. Acuna, everybody's, getting it in. And that's what allows him to get good stuff to look at. You know what I mean? If that wasn't happening elsewhere in the lineup, then he probably – the kind of pitches he would get, he probably wouldn't be getting. So I think we also got to attribute a little bit to the fact.
Well, he's hitting behind Markakis. He's not up there in the 3 or 4 or anywhere like that. He's down in the lineup. Yes, he's taking advantage of being new right now, and the rest of the league doesn't know exactly, with the exception of St. Louis. They've seen
too much of
him. They're going to try and figure this dude out, and we're going to see what adjustments are made. So here's where the chess match of baseball – comes into play. Man, did you see what Verlander did?
Yeah.
Speaking of Tigers or X-Wins, that's not a good subject in Miles. We talk about the success of Verlander for another team.
Look at him and you grit your teeth.
Past Cy Young as far as strikeouts.
Yeah.
That's something to be said.
Hey, he's amazing. He keeps on going, too.
And just had a baby?
Yep. Keeps on rolling, man. Yeah. Dude's doing it.
Anyway, is that unfair to compare him to somebody who – or actually to want – that little extra oomph. Because, see, I'm when it comes to baseball, they need every little extra bit of sugar that they can get.
Yeah. I think right now the excitement is just he's a fresh face and look at what he's doing. I think that's, to me, the team's winning. You got a new fresh face. There's a lot of excitement about, it's good. Now, my man up here in Cincinnati who was hitting home runs and flipping the bat and all kind of stuff, Dietrich, got like a character like that now. Of course, and he's a character.
Right. And that brings people to the stage.
Yeah, but he's about to win some games.
Well, again.
We want to win some games, and we're winning some games. But I'm just saying, he's cool. I think a lot of players are, may not feel that way about him. I'm sure some pitchers are probably saying, I wish he'd do that after you hit a home run off me. What's stopping from hitting a home run? But that's he's a character. That's what you're saying,
right?
The league.
Right.
And so, I mean, we get some more of those guys around the league. That's cool.
We hope.
I mean.
You hope. That's all you can do is hope. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Tell me what I missed yesterday.
There was something happening downtown.
I was just going to say, I was busy. Busy with the Braves and Atlanta United.
Took care of business, man. Took care of business. Against Chicago.
I drove from Chicago once with a couple of my friends to see the Chicago Fire play in the Soccer Bowl That's what it was called then, in Toronto. We drove from Chicago, went around the lake, through Michigan, up through Michigan.
Yeah, so you didn't drive under the lake or anything.
That's went to Toronto to, is it Argonaut Stadium?
I'm not sure.
I think it was at the time being, Argonauts, to watch them dudes. And that's the last time I cared about Chicago Fire.
Okay. Well, they were in town yesterday, and they took an L back on the bus, train, however they got here. They took it taking the L back. 2-0 the final score. Joseph Martinez with two goals, one in the 12th minute, another in the 43rd minute. And now with 8 wins, surprise, Atlanta United has the most wins in the Eastern Conference.
We were talking about a 3-game losing streak not too long ago. They came back, got the win. Now they're on spring break for a few weeks. Get healthy. But how do you feel about this team long term? As they have played through this season, because they've given us more head scratching moments than a few.
The cool thing about the last two wins they got is obviously the wins that they've won in recent weeks. They had a 3-game tailspin, solid defense in the back end of the game, and that was a problem even with the team that won the championship late in the match. Sometimes the other team would be able to get a goal or escape with a tie or maybe come out with a win. The defense in the back half, they got that second goal last night. You figure, okay, this is over. This is done. You just feel like defensively they're going to be strong enough that it won't be a concern. Sure, the other team could score a goal and make a comeback. But it hasn't happened with this team. And I think that's the difference we're seeing, with this team right now. It's still a work in progress. We're still evolving. We're still getting used to this new coach. And the new demands and new things that they're required to do, obviously. But I think that's another good thing is they go to this break and get a little rest here. The back half of games seems to be a bit more secure. So that's what I'm getting from this team. So it's great to see them get that win.
Well, we're going to find out a little bit more about them because these guys are going to get healthy over the next couple of weeks too. So any nicks and bumps and bruises or whatever might be slowing them up, or they're still trying to figure out defenses. And, look, during the update, we heard, was it Mike Conte or I'm not sure who was making the analogy, but they were talking about this was one of the best team goals they've seen in forever. Like, these guys were meshing like last year.
That was that first goal, the first goal by Martinez. And Pity Martinez was the one that set him up, and he got the goal there. The second one, Joseph just got it, and he just ran away from everybody. How fast he is, usually he gets up the field and somebody will set it up to him. He just had the ball and just took off and scored, man. So it's great to see him back, in form, doing what we like to see him do. That's a great thing. Of course, we got all kind of stuff happening here.
We got basketball
tonight.
Basketball.
You going to play? Did you see what happened in the Stanley Cup last night?
I saw a lot of guys.
Wow, man.
I saw a Stanley Cup match out, and all of a sudden the basketball game broke out. Yeah, a whole lot of scoring going on.
You ever hear a building get that quiet? Folks in St. Louis, bless their hearts. First time they had a Stanley Cup final game in that town in almost 50 years.
It's just trying to figure out how to pitch to Austin Riley. That's what the problem was.
Oh, my goodness. They were down 3-0. That third goal, I think, was the backbreaker because you were 8 seconds away from the end of the period, and this guy just flicks a little wrister in there, and I was like, whoa. 3-0. I like, this thing is over.
Listen,
7-2 final score. 7-2.
The city of Boston made a deal with some kind of sports devil. They made a deal with some kind of sports devil.
That was a sports devil.
Because for nothing happening for 100 plus years, and then all of a sudden, these last 15 years or so.
Y'all write this down. Greg has invented something, a sports devil.
Yeah. I don't want to say the real devil. He's busy with other stuff.
No, he got other
They
got to
have a sports devil. They got the golf gods?
Yeah.
They got the sports devil.
And he lives in Boston.
He is right now, right there on Beacon Street. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 929 The Game, 929TheGame.com.
Throw his hands. The champ is in trouble. Look for an overhand right here, Brian. Joshua with the hard jab. Trying to answer, but he's safe and he's down again. Joshua looks gassed. Mouthpiece came flying out of his mouth.
6, 7, 8.
He's been down 4 times.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sam, Whoa. What did we miss last night?
Boom.
The pugilistic power of that young man from Mexico brought it into the ring and shocked the boxing world. I don't know who the hell that was. But
who was that?
I don't know. It was a combination of Howard and some Disney character.
Maybe that's because they were at Madison Square Garden last night.
That's it.
Man, shocking. You know, we talked about boxing and how we can get back on the front page. And we talked about unifying the belts. We know the guys we want to see, but they won't give us the guys we want to see. Well, one of the guys that we want to see was in action last night, and he got knocked around the ring all over the place. Anthony Joshua loses last night.
Well, here's if you're going to see the fight, the part that ended it is quite amusing. But more importantly, when you look at it, don't feel bad if you have this thought run through your head, because this is what Sam and I thought. This is what happens when somebody cuts in line in front of the wrong person at Krispy Kreme.
The person's going to whip your you-know-what.
This is what this looks like. This looks like a fight that spilled out on a Ponce de Leon right over there by Shaq's place with this dude.
They may have the lights on today, this morning, in honor of Andy Ruiz Jr., who's an underdog, big underdog. I mean, the bookies out in Vegas went to the cleaners because he was 11-1 underdog, 12-1 underdog going into this fight. Matter of fact, he was like a substitute. He wasn't even supposed to be in this fight. The guy who was supposed to be in it failed a drug test, and they had to find someone else. Jarrell Miller tested positive for 3 banned substances. So Ruiz was called up to say, hey, what are you doing on this date, on this Saturday night? You want to fight at Madison Square Garden? And he goes there in front of 20,000 people, scores a 7th round TKO over Anthony Joshua.
Who had 3 belts?
WBA, IBF, WBO. Heavyweight championship belts, and now they all belong to the first heavyweight champion of Mexican descent. And so historic night last night, but people look at the way this guy's put together. If you look at Joshua,
he's a big boy. We can make fun because big people can make fun of each other.
Joshua is 6'6", 247, and looks like chiseled.
I mean, light a match off his abs.
You know what I
abs.
Mean? I mean, he's shades of Ken Norton. But here is Ruiz at 6'2", and 268, maybe add another biscuit or two there. And he but he
a sausage and gravy biscuit. That's what you do like that. That's a big boy.
But he saw his opening.
Yeah, he did.
And
repeatedly,
we just saw some highlights.
You got to see it. You just have to see it because you don't think he's gonna move with the agility that he showed.
No,
and I mean he tore him up.
Yeah, I mean he started and so many punches in succession. I mean he putting together combinations and. Wham.
After getting knocked down, too.
Yeah. Yep.
After getting knocked down.
Yeah, knocked down. He got up and said, you know, I'm here.
I told you don't cut in front of me. That's what happened.
The light is on Ponce.
Sam McGregor, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
In honor of our heavyweight champion. And where does this leave our man, our friend of the show, Deontay Wilder, who this week announced that he was going to have a possible fight with Tyson Fury, who we've seen again, who we saw him fight last year. And it was an entertaining fight, good fight. The thing of it is, there's certain folks that you want to see in the ring. You were looking for this fight between Wilder, you know, and Anthony Joshua. And now it's gotten farther away because Joshua obviously has a clause for a rematch with Ortiz and with Ruiz, the winner last night. So that's the whole thing. They're going to have to do this again, probably in the fall. You know, there's still this television arrangement. The thing that I think that's delaying a lot of it, that he not falls under that umbrella. So while they're working those things out, you know, Deontay Wilder has a fight with Luis Ortiz in September. Now, if he wins that fight, Tyson Fury has to fight Tom Schwartz.
May the Schwartz be with you. I love that movie.
Later this month. And that possibly will set up a rematch between those two. In early 2020.
But what gets voided because of the events of last night? Some of this has got to go by the wayside. Because, you know, in boxing, it's always like, okay, if you win this, you get this. And then if you beat this person, you get to do that. But then if you don't, all bets are off.
That's what happens. If Fury doesn't win his fight later this month against Schwartz, then I guess the thing is off with Wilder. Wilder is free to go and try to fight, you know, somebody else. Which means it wouldn't be Ruiz because he's got to do the rematch with Anthony Joshua.
That's a definite. He's got to do that first.
There's an arrangement for that. So I'm sure they're going to do that, and that'll be in the fall. I mean, most of the time that happens. You know, Leon Spinks beat Leon Spinks beat Ali. What happened? They had a rematch.
Well, we've seen, Well, you going back today?
But I'm just saying.
You went
just
back
saying,
to Norton. Now you went back to that one. I'm just saying. Some examples a little closer up.
Well, some examples also about in
Hearns. I mean, you could go to the middleweights with Sugar Ray and Hearns and Hagelin. Those guys fought each other throughout the decade.
But I'm just thinking one that comes out of the blue like this.
Right. Okay. Well, then
the rematch is in place, and you'll see a rematch.
All right. Point taken.
So I mean, that's what's happening there with the champ. You got to give the champ a chance to win it back. And you know, the thing of it, will it be in the United States, or if because the champion now is of Mexican descent, will it be in Mexico, or does you know Joshua still get to have it back in the UK?
Here's my question to you. In days gone by, we would know that somehow the promoters would get involved and not give us the fight in a timely manner that we wanted, or the fight getting it at all.
Yeah.
I don't see that to be the case now, but am I just misguided here? You think that will be some kind of delay? Because these, you know, the Arabs and the Don Kings, they're not around anymore, but I don't know that could be slicker
around.
Dudes.
I don't know if Arabs involved in this. I think Arabs deal is the middleweights. I mean, King is in this. He's on the kind of the periphery. I think television deals are the thing that kind of helps to drive this. And there's a new TV deal that people like Canelo Alvarez are a part of. Anthony Joshua is a part of that. Remember, boxing went away from HBO.
I was going to say.
They're done. So, I mean, this new deal kind of takes over that.
But what about Showtime?
Showtime is Wilder. Wilder is Showtime and technically CBS. Okay, so that's where he is. Why that makes such a big difference, I guess that's a whole lot of money involved in that. But, I mean, that's the thing to me that holds things up from getting the fights that we really want.
I got news for you.
More so than promoters, I guess.
This rematch, whoever Deontay fights next, I you know, listen, I'm not trying to hear McGregor at all or whoever's over on it. MMA is what it is, but that transcendent star is gone. Am I wrong?
Appears to be.
Ken, am I wrong? Do you follow? Is there a transcendent star in MMA anymore that will, if were they fighting, knock boxing off the mat? It seems like boxing passed them. They've been the snail in this race.
Yeah.
But they seem to have caught up.
Well, they've done some things to reinvent the game. It's still boxing. But first of all, they flooded the market with it in that there's a lot more boxing available on TV. You get to know these guys a little bit more. You can watch it anywhere on some nights, on some Friday nights. ESPN will have some. Fox Sports, FS1 will have some. Obviously, still see the shut.
But you get the real boxing fans for those because you don't have any names. Like I said, just a few names that bring the people.
They have to come up through there. I mean, you got to get familiar with them.
And that's what I'm saying. How do you do that? That's the catch-22.
You're giving them more opportunities. You're giving them more opportunities for people to see them and tell their backstories. I mean, I was watching some fights last night on just going back and forth and watching some. And you got to know a guy's story, a little bit about him. And I think that's the thing about it. We miss having those guys like we used to see from the Olympic team that proceeded to have their fights really profiled because we got to know them during the Olympics. And we kind of don't have that.
We don't have it at all. But the other part about that is we followed them because they also had that it thing. There's a number of boxers on an Olympic team.
Yeah.
You follow the one or two because they have not only the boxing ability, but they got that it. They got that thing, that watchability.
It's hard to find. All of them have that.
No, that's my point. And we have a few now.
Going all the way back to the team from L.A., the one with Holyfield and Meldrick Taylor. And
I wouldn't even go back that far.
But I'm just, those guys all had personalities and had flavor to
them. And how many do we follow
fought,
afterwards?
You know what that means?
But you follow Holyfield.
Well, we didn't. Well, we followed. I followed Whitaker. I followed Meldrick Taylor. Those guys were great.
You were boxing fans. I'm talking about the people who bring the folks to the TV on the periphery. Tyson brought everybody. Ken just jumped in and he said Deontay, and he's right. That's the one right now, along with, you know, possibly, listen, Ruiz, if he keeps going, this dude is going to be the John Daly of boxing.
Well, we hope
not. Am I right?
We hope not.
But he has connectability.
But John Daly turned into a train wreck. We don't want this guy to be a train wreck.
It doesn't matter. It brought John Daly. What did Don King always say? It don't matter what you say, long as you tune the you-know-what in, right? Yeah. And John Daly made people tune in.
Yeah.
This guy is going to make people tune in. I come back to listen, you can give me X's and O's, and this person did this and that, but in this world where there are so many options for people to view various things, sports, movies, whatever, You have options now. So don't tell me I got to be there at 8 o'clock to watch this, that, or the other thing. I'm going to watch it when I want to on my devices. And if you aren't interesting, I'm not watching at all. And that's what we have right now in 2019, 2020. If you can have some game, but you better be interesting. And that's what I'm saying. This guy, Ruiz, is interesting. And it may be just because of his size, but that's where he's relatable. What did Stephen A. Smith get? He got killed because he did what?
He was killed on social media there because he referred to him as Butterbean.
Yeah, and Butterbean, when he fights, people go to the TV and watch. Or Butterbean was on, they'll stay and watch those replays.
Butterbean, for those of you who don't know, was the king of the six-round fight. He could go no more than six. Was it four rounds? I think it was the king of the four-round fight. That's as far as he could go. He would be gassed. He would be winded. But somewhere within the four rounds, he's going to catch you.
If you don't know Butterbean, Google him. He looks like most folks, those of us who go into Walmart.
Yeah.
he looks like everybody else, man.
Yeah.
And he's a fighter.
He's on that Five Guys diet.
And this guy who won
He's on that Five Guys diet, man.
Not Jimmy John's, huh? Just Five Guys?
No, Five Guys.
Oh, okay.
You got to get that big old sack full of fries.
You know why I love Five Guys? Yeah. You go in there while you wait for your food, eat some peanuts.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, I fill up on them peanuts.
Five Guys, you know.
Anyway,
the
see
new
the
heavyweight champion
you
brought to you by Five Guys.
See the replay if you have not. Anyway, we are going to switch gears as we do every Sunday. Talk a little esports. My man Cole Gibson, that's up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. You know, before we talk to Cole,
yeah.
I forgot to mention, and it's in a different level, and we'll talk golf later on, but it's a red shirt Sunday.
It is.
Tiger ain't got no chance of winning today.
Nah.
But he's playing, it's sort of an afterthought, which tells you how much he's back. Because he just drive by, of course, a year or so ago, and we were talking about it.
Yeah.
That was news.
No.
Anyway, I mentioned this today because today would have been Charlie Siffert's birthday.
Ah.
Charlie Siffert, who, by the way, is the namesake of one of Tiger's kids.
Yes.
And the first African-American golfer he's the first one on the PGA Tour.
On the PGA Tour.
Right. Because I want to get him. I get him and Lee Elder, who won
Lee Elder, the first one,
for something else.
You get to play the Masters.
But you know who else's birthday today?
Who's that?
Gail Yepremian.
Really?
Yeah.
The tie maker.
There you go. Think about him for a minute. Anyway, let's talk esports. Cole, good morning. Cole Gibson.
Morning, y'all. How are you doing?
How are you doing, man?
We are doing just fine. How about yourself? What was the attire yesterday? Because I know it's early in the morning, so you ain't got you ain't got it to your closet yet. But where were you last night, and what were you wearing?
Well, we ain't trying to get into man's business.
Well, if he was out doing something fun, he could have been at the Braves game with me.
I see something on Twitter where you were yesterday,
okay,
man.
Okay. Well, can we mention it?
He put it on Twitter. What are you
doing?
Wasn't
the shoe modeling place, was it?
No.
All right, well, then nothing to be embarrassed about.
He's out there. Did you actually go fishing?
No.
What?
There was a mix-up with a whole bunch of things. I'm going fishing Monday, though. I promise. Okay. I know I fooled a lot of my Twitter followers. I'm sorry to everybody out there.
Yeah, but I saw this. And I said that was. I'm going to ask before I ask you about anything esports. I'm going to ask you about going fishing, man. Because I don't know if you got an outfit. Do you have a fishing outfit?
Not particular. Just jeans, some boots, so I don't get bit up by mosquitoes and ticks, and the cowboy hat for shade.
You get
and,
the cowboy hat.
Just joining us. Not only do we get. Updates on esports with Cole, but we like to let people know to go to his website because the man is a fashionista.
Yeah, yeah.
Best way to put it?
He's always ready, man. He's always on point.
Cole!
There's something happening over in Athens, right? Something happened in Athens today?
Today? God.
No, you got to get Smite. Smite. I saw something about Smite competing the Athens EU 5-for-5, 5v5 Conquest Tournament.
Actually, you know more than me on this.
No, man, I'm following your Twitter.
You're 0-for-2. I'm following your Twitter.
Oh, my God. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I know what you're talking about now. You said Athens. I thought it was my Athens, Georgia. So that is an online Smite tournament for Smite Prime, which is a tier 2 community tournament for the game Smite, which hosts its pro league in Alpharetta. And so I cast that every week, and it's put on their official Mixer.com stream channel. And the EU tournament is called the Battle for Athens, while the North America tournament is called the Battle for Asgard. So it can get a little bit confusing. That's why I was acting. I was like, oh, man, is there something going on in Athens that I didn't know about? And I was like, oh, good grief.
Sam's good. He's got this mischievous thing going on.
No, I'm just checking out your Twitter because I know you always got stuff on there.
Let's start this again. Cole Gibson joining us here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, with Sam and Greg. And listen, internationally, nationally, locally, tell us what we need to know as far as what's going on in esports right now, man.
So internationally, DreamHack Dallas going on. This is international and national because the tournament happens obviously in Dallas, Texas, but they invite teams from all across the world for CSGO tournaments, some smaller tournaments. The big one is CSGO, and yesterday they just had their semifinals where I believe Team Liquid moved on, and I believe they're going to be facing FaZe Clan in the finals for that. And then really the big news, though, in esports isn't even the competition. There's an article that recently came out that talked about how the industry is a bubble, and it just went into details about how industry leaders, investors are concerned about the esports environment, and this isn't to scare anybody away from esports, but it was a really just realistic article about how if we're not careful in the next few years, esports won't die or bust, but it might take several steps back if we're not careful with the way new investors are using their money in the space, and it's already evident in some of the terms we have and the quality of them at some levels, the broadcast, some of the teams that are brand name teams that were acquired by outside investors and non-endemic brands that are folding. The biggest one in esports is Optic Gaming, has been around for forever, since the early 2000s. And now, because of some poor strategy and investment by their parent company, Infinite Esports and Entertainment, they are being sold, and the old owners having to fight for the brand. Another esports team is trying to buy it, and we could be seeing literally the disappearance and collapse of one of the most iconic esports brands in the world, not just in America.
Wow. Just because people are getting greedy?
Yeah, people are just, you have the quote-unquote esports consultants that are finding ways to get to the non-endemic investors first and kind of swindle them into throwing their money in the wrong ways, half of that money going in these consultants' pockets, and therefore people are literally wasting money because no one is making money in esports as to say that organizations aren't making just a plethora of in the black. We're making tons and tons of cash and revenue just yet. The industry itself is in a good place as far as getting a ton of influx of cash coming in from investment, and definitely a lot of brands are making themselves very viable as far as like, hey, if you want to advertise something with our brand, you can do that. We have a lot of eyes, but no teams are making a ton of money yet, and you don't see organizations that are millions of dollars in the black like Walmart or something like that.
Yeah.
And so when you already have a system and an ecosystem that's pretty fragile in the way the money is flowing and the cycle of the money, and you have all these new people coming in that don't really know esports and a bunch of other people taking advantage of them, having them throw millions of dollars in wrong places, having them set up their infrastructure the wrong way, it just throws everything out of whack that people have worked so hard to get into a good place after so many years. And so esports is just having to look in the mirror right now as an industry and be like, what are we and where do we go from here in the next 5 to 10 years? Because outside of League, Dota, and CSGO, everywhere else is trying to just figure out where to go next and how to advance into the future to start making that money and start getting to a spot where you see the baseballs, the footballs, the basketballs.
Okay, yep, hang on. Cole, take a breath.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah.
All right, would you please? Just get a period at the end of these sentences, would you, every once in a while?
We spent some time on the whiteboard.com hotline with Cole Gibson. Follow him on Twitter at ATL Esports Guy, at ATL Esports Guy. Cole, just quickly, is this something that comes from the lack of a structure or an organization? Don't want to call it a union. Don't want to call it a league president. Don't want to call it anything like that. But just not having something like that in place, Is that the reason why we're seeing this?
Yes. For many of the esports, there's only a few that have players' unions. And even then, there's very few that have owners, like ownership groups, where almost like football, where you have owners' meetings. You know, a league with some of the things that happened with Riot Games, with the Echo Fox situation, and Rick Fox and one of his business partners being basically had a lot of racism come their way from one of the other investors in their own company. And in football, there might have been an owner's meeting about what to do with this, you know, one investor who's a co-founder of the team.
Yeah.
In League of Legends, there was, apparently, according to one of the owners, there's a lot of talking, you know. They talked between each other. It wasn't like a meeting to, like, discuss what happens. And when you don't have a lot of organization in that way, where everyone kind of comes together and talks about where to go next, it causes fragmentation and areas where there are gaps for people, you know?
We've got, we just got a few more seconds here if we got to let you go, but we got to bring you back here because what you were saying, Sam, to him as far as trying to understand how this thing is spiraling down the toilet bowl, I think a lot of it has to do with it moving from where it was into that mainstream lane and having a lot more bright lights on it, whereas heretofore it didn't have, and all its warts are being shown. So, Cole, we're going to bring you back here. We want to talk more about this and other events that are coming up here, man. But listen, interesting information you brought today, and we appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. I love talking positively about esports, but I just always want to keep it real.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. And I always want to make sure people know the real deal about the industry that I love. So.
All right. Well, we're going to bring you back here, man, and as always, bring the knowledge. Have yourself a good week, partner.
And go out,
too.
Go out and catch some fish.
Yes, sir.
All right. That was Cole Gibson.
Yeah.
Listen, coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we have got, well, some stuff that happened last night. Not just the Braves, but also there was a fight. And we got something coming up tonight in the NBA. We're going to talk about that.
And we had a certain exit over in Paris.
A couple of exits in
Paris. Yeah.
We'll talk about that, too.
Anyway,
we got a chance for some jobs up next. It's Casting Call, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.